In this case, I get to have all three points today. Manna, it's an amazing thing. You know, when these people are in the wilderness, somebody came down from heaven and it fed them for 40 years. If you think of it in a more practical term, you know how many people were in that camp? If you're taking the Bible literally, just for a moment, they were saying 600,000 men capable of going to war. That means men between, I think, 15 and up to 55. That's 600,000. They have to do at least times three, at least, if you want to count all the females and children and older. So we're talking about 1.8 million people in the wilderness, being fed by this food called manna. I was mentioning taking it literally because it's very unlikely or less likely you may think 1.8 million people were wandering in the wilderness 40 years without leaving a single trace. But this is a story, that's how they remember. Why did they remember it like this? Because somehow the first generation who came into Canaan to be the people of Israel felt a strong, mysterious protection, guidance by their God. They may have felt it, even as strong as probably to their bones strong. So, my first question to you is, when was the first time you felt the real presence of God in your life? And when was the last time you felt it? Let us think about that. That's my first thought. You know, as like living in this world, have you ever thought about, it's so nice that somebody else take everything, care of you, everything about what you need, right? You don't have to get a job, you don't have to clean your house, you don't have to, you know, fix your car, you don't have to worry about anything. You just relax and enjoy and things are all good. And there's nobody who will be attacking you or you have to be in fear. We kind of call those places as paradise. And, you know, we read it from here and there and some novels and books. And also, we think the story about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden as paradise. Well, now, moving back into the reality, are we living in that? And Chris says, yes, not. It's kind of saddens our heart in one way. Especially if you read this chapter of John, Jesus was somewhat making sure that the true bread from heaven is not about feeding our necessities on earth. Somehow there is another aspect to it. You know, if you read Old Testament, people somehow look at it as their relationship with God is something like it has to be always initiated by God. If you pass Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph period, and Moses comes, but Moses is called by God. He lived literally until he was 80 without really having any idea about it. He was suddenly called by God in the burning bush. And somehow, maybe that's our belief, or sometimes that's how we feel, probably, that somehow it's just blessing of God, either we experience God or not. Or having the presence of God in our life. Is that something that God gives us as a blessing? Then what about God loves everybody, and God is always present, and love of God is like sunshine that literally comes on without any discrimination or unfairness. So in Jesus' teaching in here, what you read also is later on in the same chapter is that you have to eat my body and you have to drink my blood. Then you'll have something to do with me, or you'll have life in me. Kind of turning around that is like there's something that we need to do in order to get into the presence of God, which is obviously always present. And if I may share with you these stories about from the east to west, like Socrates was saying, know yourself. Meaning, knowing yourself, there's a key to unlock the deeper side of you, which is not really you, but something that's behind you. And Buddha says exactly the same thing. If you really see your true nature, you're Buddha. Because your true nature is actually Buddha nature. The moment you're able to see it, you become Buddha. In Hinduism, when your cultivation overcomes all your biological, physical attachment and consciousness, if you rise above it, you see yourself. And you are actually a God in sleeping. So all your life as a human being is a dream. In Confucian tradition, you want to become the proper man by overcoming you. By overcoming me, I become the proper, the true man. And the recent book I'm still reading, I'm a little over halfway, book called The Proof of Heaven. I'm really enjoying it. And in one chapter, this Dr. Alexander describes that somehow one moment he felt that his own brain is not helping but blocking him to experience and realize this greater reality and locking him into this physical reality. So our own brain could work against us. And here, probably brain, again, is probably what we can see as I, my ego, myself, my consciousness. So, why am I saying all this to you with this scripture reading? Is that often we confuse that, you know, God somehow is going away, or God is absent. We use those words a lot and ask, where are you, God? And yet, the truth might be that we are actually shutting God out. Because our focus is here on earth. Just like Jesus is saying to these people, you guys chase after me not because you saw signs and great things, but you had your loves. You know? So they are chasing after him to get another loaf of bread. Somehow, maybe sometimes, that's what we do. So, let's think about that one. That's my second one. There's a word that we use a lot when we come to church called faith. Do you have faith in God? Well, you'd love to say yes, but then you really think about it, you get hesitant, and you really, really think about it, you're not really sure. And actually, that's okay. And to me, that's how it's supposed to be. Faith is something that probably grows as we grow and changes as we change. Just like any relationship changes as we grow and get older, this is something that changes too. So, if we talk about matter of having faith in God, what is it? You know, a long time ago when I was entering seminary, and probably even many years after ordination, I thought that if you can really seek the truth, understand it logically, rationally, able to explain it, we may get into the real deal of faith. And nowadays, I think it's been a few years, I'm getting into the problem area that's not really true. Because after reading, I'm not sure how many books, but let's say a couple hundred books about faith, I didn't feel a single faith increasing in my heart. I can explain about faith in 100 different ways. Okay? I can explain. I was able to explain, but I didn't feel a single increase in my heart, my own faith in God. So, I mean, definitely it was helpful to know, but was not everything about it. So what is it? The most important key question, I believe, as religious people to you is, am I certain that I have real relationship with my Creator? And I am living in a life that is connecting to this Creator, and actually breathing together, and hopefully live forever in the realm. From here, there. And we believe that's what brings peace, joy, and true happiness to our hearts. You've heard those phrases like unshakable faith. And some people might have had it. How could you have unshakable faith? I imagine that if you enter into the consciousness, spiritual reality is really, truly stronger to you than physical reality. Anything that comes into you from physical orientation cannot really shake you. Why? You clearly see this is from less real world. Therefore, how can you be shaken by something that you see as less real? But at the same time, what is it that we really talk about having faith in God and worshiping God and living as a religious people? The bottom line, probably as human beings, is like, you know, today's responsive reading. God, help me. And we wish, expect God may help us. But at the same time, we also know that God is not a wish granter. God is not a wish master that whenever we send wishes, God grants us. God is not this mysterious Santa Claus that you write a letter and you say, dear Santa, I would like to have one of these three gifts that my son wrote last year. Then, of course, who is buying one of those three? Well, you know. So, God is not Santa. We know that. But at the same time, is it so not right to expect, to believe that God is breathing with me, listening to me carefully, and actually helping and supporting me? Answer, I'm not sure, actually. But today, I would like to share with you one experience I had, and my wife is sitting right there, so she can verify that it's true. Very interesting story. It just amused us. Long, long, long time ago, we just got married. It was about 9 years ago. And she just came to the States. And her English wasn't really good. And her major in Korea was Korean literature. So she definitely saw that there's no field of career she can really cultivate in the States with that. So she wanted to continue her education here to get at least one degree. And I agreed, so we were planning about it, and we were thinking it may cost about $20,000, you know, to complete all like, you know, ESL and, you know, degree and all that. And, well, I was pastor of Cleveland Church, and, you know, I was literally in the category of poor people. You know, by the government. So there's no way that I was able to pay with my salary. So I was going to take a loan. I was looking into it, and in my mind, I think I thought about, like, gee, if I didn't become a pastor, maybe I didn't have to take a loan for this amount. And I just, one thought, was not even serious. I think a few weeks later, I had a dream. In the dream, I was working for a facility for people's care. This is kind of multi-complex facility that gives care for the people's health, mental, and physical. And I was a worker. And I was summoned by the boss. As I was entering into the boss's room, I realized that suddenly this is God. It was a weird moment. I didn't see the face, I only see the hand. But I heard a voice saying that, so you've been complaining about your salary. That was the line. I was like, not really. And says, that's okay. So, and the hand I saw punched the number in the calculator. And that's okay, here's your bonus. I woke up. It was really short, actually. I woke up and didn't know what to make of it, so I told my wife about it, and everybody was thinking, like, what was the number? We should buy a lot of money. It's kind of like, you know, God's giving you numbers, so you should buy, you know. Well, and then I told them that, you know what, in my life, I never won anything that complex. It shouldn't be like that. So, just an amusing point that maybe, oh, that's great, though, my God, I had a dream like that. And a few weeks passed, I was on the phone talking with my sister, you know, just checking each other out, and I just got married, she was concerned about my life, and so, just talking about in our plans and continuation of the education, and I was saying, yeah, it's going to cost about 20 grand, I'm going to take a loan, and then all that, and she's saying, oh, that's why, sister said, why? And she said, well, I just earned about $20,000 worth of US dollar out of unexpected way. And she thought, how to spend it? She was really wondering how to spend it, because she thought that's not really her money. So she was thinking about it, donating to a mission place, or to a church, or to some other places. And she told us that, I think that's why God gave this to me. So, I'm going to just give it to you. So, that's how it happened. So she was actually going to set it aside as a fund for my mother's late age. So the promise is that when our mother gets older, you'll take care of her portion, right? Come on, like, I'll do it anyway. Right? That's our mother. So that's somehow what happened. Like within about, I would say, 4 to 6 weeks period, me kind of complaining about my situation, having the dream, talking to my sister, and we received that from my sister, and so we didn't have to take any loan, so which was actually great, because Roy was just about to be born too. So, in my heart, is it from God? Is it from my sister? I don't know. But in my understanding and my belief, my God had something to do with it. But I cannot claim that this God, creator of the universe, care about Jun Cho, small little person on earth, and move all these people to you know, make me happy. I think that's very selfish to think like that. But at the same time, this great God, creator of the universe, actually listens to us and provide care in a way that is totally unexpected. Hee-jung and I, you know, we are, and she's right there. I never even thought about asking any help from any family at all. That was not in the plan at all. Or I was not praying for, like, God, please send me money. No, I never said a single prayer about that. But that's what happened. And still, it amuses me, and in a way that, wow, such a thing's possible. That's amazing. And I hope and believe each one of you may have something like that. may not be as big as like receiving $20,000 in cash in that way, but something like that. And I never, still, I don't pray at all to God, saying like, God, this time I need like $10,000, and this time, yeah, just $10,000. I never do that. No, of course not. We shouldn't do that. That's not how it works. But on the other way around, our gracious God, this presence that is filling whole earth and whole universe, is also connected to our mind and consciousness and soul, and knows our need. And sometimes, when it's really necessary, God may arrange a surprise to us. My belief is that we shouldn't expect it, but we should be thankful when we have it. And so we're very thankful to God for that, and just I would like to share that with you today. I don't know how you want to take it. I have no statement for that one. But somehow God really cares about us. That's how I felt. And whenever I think of these moments, I more realize that God is actually closer than I think God is. I literally did not even tell my wife about it. I just whispered it to my mind that, gee, if I graduated, you know, MBA, I was going to get MBA actually. That was my original plan. And I'm working for corporations, I might get a lot of salary. This kind of thing may not be a big deal. And I'm like, one second thought. Somehow God caught that one. To me, it's amazing. So, in your life, I believe you have it. Would you like to pay attention to it and keep it as a treasure in your heart? And see that as the presence of God in your life, in your heart. I believe this becomes the connecting dot. The more you acknowledge it, more of the presence of God comes into your life. The more you have it, solid becomes your faith in God. And that leads you to have joy and happiness, regardless of what happens to you. So, my blessings to you all, your search, and your findings of divine presence and blessings. Amen.